12 seconds after the hour of 12 in this, the month of April in the year of our Lord 2006. Thank you for coming by, making a part of your listening day live from the plushly appointed and vaguely rocking studios of Johnson 970, a proud part of the CBS Radio family. My friends, this is the Rick Emerson Show. We are here broadcasting in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970, and welcome to Friday. It is Rick at RickEmerson.com. By the way, you want to get on board with your comments, clarifications, kvetching, what have you. Rick at RickEmerson.com, or again, 503-733-2970. And if anybody, anywhere, anytime, ever told you that there was a radio program being broadcast from Portland, Oregon, my friends, you were deceived. You were lied to. It's 503-733-2970. We are now just 13 days away. 13 days from Listener Party 9 happening Thursday, April 20th. Sabalas Mount Tabor, 49th and Hawthorne. More details on that to come today. We have more details, a little bit of news about the band as well. We may or may not. I think we may. Be able to make a little bit of announcement about the band. They're going to be playing at Listener Party 9, of course. And there's going to be a small event. There's going to be a special event happening inside the band set itself. We may be able to confirm and announce that later on today. So you'll be listening for that. Also coming up today, Scott Daly from Film Fever. Special guest today, Aaron Duran. Aaron Geek in the City Duran will be joining us. Scott Daly and Aaron Geek in the City Duran are going to be here to talk about pointless makings of television programs into films. Because that whole, that hideous that Dallas movie's in the works right now, so we're talking about that. We have a Geek Watch coming up today. I do believe we have a religious nutcase watch. We have Jim Roop, CNN radio correspondent from Los Angeles, talking about a story whose key words are teachers, students, and greased up. So you got that to look forward to. We're also going to talk, believe me, in the vaguest of terms, about this centipede video that continues to go around, because I have some thoughts on it. You see, I just say it. Let me tell you this right now. If you work in an office with an internet connection, it's like a 1 in 3 chance. You can walk up to somebody in your building and go, centipede. And they just kind of go, ha, ha. Also this, if you work with men, in the words of David Mamet, if you work with men, just go up to them and say this. Go up to a guy in your office and say, how about that video with the llama? They'll know what I'm talking about. No, this is not a reference to Coin TV.
With Halama?
How about that video with Paul Halama? Yeah. No, you don't want to know what's funny? Now, this is absolutely true. I'm not saying this for comedic purposes. I actually did watch the video of the llama with Paul Halama. And if you don't know what the video of the llama is, it's just as well. If you're a woman, don't ever think about it again. Expunge this sentence from your brain. If you're a guy, somebody will show you. You know, see, look, you know what that is? That's finger on the pulse of the American pop culture consciousness. That's a relatable.
I feel it beating.
I'm talking right to those men. I'm talking right to those men aged 25 to 54 with a mean income of, well, anyway.
$90,000 at least.
Yes. It's 503-733-2970. So Jim Roop going to be up later on today. We also got, by popular request, Sarah asked for it. We were talking about the band set list for Listener Party 9, and yesterday we created this whole set list, and then I saw the emails going back and forth from the guys in the band, and it was like, which Dio song, how many Dio songs, who can sing like Dio, is it Rainbow in the Dark or Holy Diver, is it Holy Diver or Last in Line, it's a whole thing. But then someone yesterday had text messaged Sarah during the show and requested Striper, and then Sarah said, she passed that along to me, she said, we ought to play some Striper, and I, like an idiot, I opened my mouth and said, we ought to play some Striper. And we're going to actually play some Striper on the show later. Because I do believe that it may have been ill-advised. I think that Striper might be one of those things that's sort of better in the abstract, as opposed to right there, pounding against your cilia. So we'll find out about it. We'll talk about that later on. We're here, as we always are, with the lovely Sarah X. Dillon, who's running the show, keeping things on time and in tune. How are you?
Good. I guess we were on Coin News 6 last night.
Yeah. I was going to lead right up. See, look what a stunning segue that is.
Oh, wow.
Because Coin 6, they... So here's what happened yesterday. If you didn't know, I got no time to pre-sell this yesterday because the guy was already up here in the room, and it's like you can't... You know, I couldn't lay it all out. So I was at my desk like 5 minutes to noon, just getting ready. I'm like shoving down the lunch, getting ready to come in and do the show. Phone rings on my desk, and it's this woman, Shelley.
Shelley.
And she's like, I'm from Coin 6. Now, we were talking about this Foxworth thing. You know, he's the chief of police and the hot chocolate love. And she says, are you going to be talking about that at all? And of course.
Oh, yes.
Never wanting to squander a media opportunity and wanting to pimp and whore this program as only we can. I said, why, yes, Shelley. We're planning an entire 3-hour extravaganza. It's going to be all Foxworth today. How can I help you? And she said, well, we were wondering.
This, you're such big supporters of Coin 6 News.
Because, yes, in the spirit of corporate synergy. As, trying to keep that symbiosis a-flowing. She said, it's really just because we're upstairs and they're lazy. And they said, hey, well, how about we come up and we film you talking about it? I mean that in a good way. But can we film you talking about it? And I said, why, sure. We'll be ready. And I ran down the hallway.
And luckily, I already had a story.
I burst into the room. Coin's coming. Look busy. You know, and just totally. Look professional. Put away the drugs. And just totally trying to look like we know what we're doing. The Dean guy comes in. Dean, the poor cameraman from Coin 6, he was here for probably 35 minutes yesterday, trying and failing to get usable footage. And I
mean, he probably got in trouble for that. But we're so worthless at, you know, actually making something.
And I even pre-trained everybody. We spent about 5 minutes yesterday on the air saying, you know, when I give the code word, everybody call in and say something constructive and intelligent. It sounds like you're concerned about the community. It sounds like you're not just here for talk about boobs and Mortal Kombat. And I gave everybody like 15 minutes, and of course everyone failed spectacularly.
Except for Kristen and Connie.
Except for Kristen and Connie. She had the lone, the one other guy who got on the air started strong, and then he just blew apart in midair like Chuck Yeager. So that was no good. So the guy was here and trying to make 15 seconds out of 45 minutes of footage, and then by the time I remembered it was even going to be on, I had already missed part of it, because the thing is with the TiVo, you can program your TiVo from any computer in the world. That's one of the things that sets the TiVo apart. So I sat down at my computer, but I forgot. But of course, you got to remember that the goddamn program's going to be on, which I did not. So I sat down at my computer. I'm like, oh, crap, got to tape Coin 6. Go to the TiVo.com, log in, you know, record all coin programs. But I missed the 5:30 and the 6, because they do it back-to-back, right?
Yeah.
And then I got the 11. So I got half of the 6 o'clock, none of the 5:30, and all of the 11. Now, Tim, where was this news that they actually used of us?
Okay, there were two different ones. One, as you would predict, with the meters going back and forth. The other showing the lines of the phone, but none of them lit, which nobody noticed.
I realized that yesterday, by the way, when the camera guy, because we did a whole call-in segment, and then we stopped.
Uh-huh. And people are probably wondering, what is that thing?
And so this guy, Dean, God bless him, does this large zoom-in on the phone bank, which doesn't look anything like your phone. It doesn't look anything like your Earth phones.
Right.
We don't have a real phone here. It's just like a rectangular black box. And so he's zooming in on this. None of the lines are blinking because we've ended the phone segment. We've hung up on everybody. And so he's filming a box that looks like nothing. It looks completely confusing and pointless. And I, as
well, he was so close, too. I mean, every time I turn around, it's like, bam.
Like an inch away from your face.
Literally an inch away from your face. I cannot believe how close they get
to
you.
At one point, I felt the lens of the camera brushing against my hair, like he was zooming in, like to get the retinal shot. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, hold on, I need to get every individual pore.
And then he has you talking to Kristen and Connie in one of them. And then on the second one, he has Kristen's phone call. Me reading some stuff, and Sarah laughing at me while I'm reading.
I don't even... So if anybody saw...
With you, Tim, with you.
If you saw Coin 6 last night, I'm sure you did.
Everyone watches Coin News 6.
Hey, to be fair, I was out last night, and I saw a couple people who said they saw us on the news.
Uh-huh. With
Dave McKay at K-Hits.
Were they shopping for Polydent? Zing! No, I'm sorry. So if you saw, I just forgot about it. And by the time I got home, my TiVo had not, it was my fault. It's my fault and mine alone. So if you saw us on Coin 6 last night, I'd like to hear about it. Not just because I like to hear about myself, although that is true, but just because I didn't see it. So I'd like to know. And Tim has it on his DVR.
Yeah, I don't know how to get it off the DVR and dub it on something.
We're all inept.
Do you think somebody could transfer the audio if they knew how?
Not that I would advocate copyright. Well, whatever. Screw it. Copy it and send it to us.
Now, at 6 o'clock, the audio was messed up because the woman who was narrated, the microphone wasn't on. So you hear somebody bring her in a microphone and hear her say thank you.
Right.
And they're trying to attach it.
That's sort of the curse of intercom engineering that's just followed us over here, I guess. That we followed us right at the coin. It's 503-733-2970. People calling right now, not about coin, but for just random things, apparently. We'll get to those guys in a second. Ladies and gentlemen, your personal savior, he's at the city desk. His name is Tim Riley.
Right. From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, this is the City Desk News Beat. Tim Riley reporting. Our top headlines. Removing 11 million illegal aliens would be very expensive and time-consuming.
What if you just use some sort of a backhoe?
Oh, like we did in Iraq?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Or just
well,
a pitchfork. A pitchfork can move illegal aliens. You could probably fit three or four illegal aliens onto a pitchfork, especially if they were small or young.
We might try it.
Okay.
Two Portlanders are injured while pushing a golf cart on an overpass at 3 o'clock in the morning. At a rally supporting Chief Foxworth, salacious emailings was held this morning.
We've reversed ourselves. That was actually the tease, wasn't it?
It was.
Because where we normally did the tease, we ended up talking about coin. Okay, so I'll tell you what. Let's take this. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hey, it's Christian.
It's Christian?
What's up, man?
I'm sorry? It's Kristen?
Christian.
Oh, I was just going to say, your birthday's brought about some changes.
I just want to say congrats to being on the air. The city just seems so much more alive now that you're back on the air.
Thank you.
It seems so much more connected to this, celestial party that you got going on.
Attention, advertisers. We would like to thank all of you. What? I'm sorry, he's interrupting me with a text message. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. It says Striper.
This guy's praising our return, and I'm like, yeah, whatever. And I'm looking at Sarah's cell phone.
No, you were asking what Striper song you wanted, and he just
said free. Free to do what you want to.
I had a friend who used to live next to me, and every Sunday he would play Striper because that was his version of going to church.
Yeah. I own 9 Striper albums, and many of them holdovers from my youth. I think some of them are on cassette, actually. So I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt your lavish praise. So we are the greatest thing ever. No, you can start again. So we are your sole reason for living.
Yes, pretty much.
Christian, are you coming to the listener party?
I get the day off after the listening party because I know it's going to be such an alcoholic cost.
I'm writing that down. And you promise to buy everything that we advertise.
Oh yeah, it's the 20th is my payday, man.
Listen to that. So what kind of work do you do?
I'm driving a tractor trailer right now.
Of course
I'm
you are.
I'm a foreman for a trucking company.
Fantastic, excellent. Guys who sit behind the wheel, that's like 90% of our audience right there. We love those guys. Are you spreading the word, Christian?
Yes, I am. It just sucks because not many people listen to AM, you know?
But you got to overpower them and physically. Use a gun if you have to. Just force them. In fact, you know what you ought to do? The next time you're like, hey, whatever, you pull in, you're getting your truck worked on, gas, rest up, whatever. Just start changing radios to 970. Don't even ask.
I would have watched your piece on coin last night, but I was over at my father's place drinking Crown and Pap.
God bless you, sir. Thank you, Christian. You call us anytime.
Love you, Rick.
All right, there you go.
Love you, sir.
Bye, Christian.
All right, there you go. Those are our people right there.
And we are the station.
I would have watched you, but I was at my father's place drinking Crown and Pabst. That's what I want on my headstone right there, you know? That's what I want right there. Or alcoholic cost. Hi, it's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley again at the City Desk. Da-da-da-da-ba-ba.
So we want to hear... Who went to the pro Chief Foxworth rally today?
Now this was
part of these emailings.
This was this morning, right?
Yeah.
And it was a bunch of people gathered to say what? Like go harassment.
They think that this woman is out to slander his name and collect a huge sum of money. So they gathered at Reflections Coffee, which is somewhere in Northwest.
Of course.
For rally.
Sure.
They feel he is not getting a fair shake.
Oh wait, do we have sound on this?
No, we don't.
Okay, that's too bad.
So we need to hear from people who went.
All right, so if you in the incredibly unlikely event that you went to support. The
people
idea.
People will go to rallies for any reason here. This is Portland.
Yeah, but a pro cop rally of any kind. And look, God bless them. They do a job. It's dangerous. I wouldn't want to do it. I'm just saying it's hard to see, like, for instance, our friend that we just talked to, who spent last night drinking Pabst and Crown. It's hard to imagine him saying, you know, I should go to a pro police rally today. It just doesn't roll off the tongue real well. Especially a pro cop who wants to press his hot chocolate love against you and grind in a salacious fashion.
Maybe somebody wants to sign him up to write a Harlequin novel.
We should ask him if he just wants to be like our love correspondent.
Yeah, that'd be great.
If he'd like to come on and give love advice. If I was a kooky, if we were like a zoo type show,
yeah,
we would totally have done that by now. All right.
Meanwhile, the Corvallis Police Department is taking a close look at photos of some of its officers at a lingerie party.
A close look at the photo, repeated sticky look at the photos.
College-age women are allegedly cozying up to the officers and seem to be posing for the photos. And these photos were posted on the so-called MySpace.com website.
We need a MySpace sounder. Don't we have a, don't we going to do a whole segment, a youth in crisis?
I think so.
I guess these aren't youths. So what was this, a lingerie? Is this one of those, you pay whatever and they model lingerie for you?
Well, it says the department is investigating whether the officers willingly participated in an activity that could discredit them as police officers.
Yes. Ruin all that cop credibility they've got this right now in Oregon.
Well,
somebody might think that they're not quite on the up and up about
it. One of the officers has resigned amid a separate investigation.
Okay.
The police are looking into whether he was having an affair with an Oregon State University student when he was supposed to be on patrol.
Well, it's got to be hard to be a cop, though, because chicks just throw themselves at you.
They're chick.
Not Sarah, of course. Not you. You're not into cops. You don't have the guy in a uniform thing, do you?
Blue is a very trusting color.
Your uniform is slightly different than others. The uniform you look for is like a recently paroled tag around the wrist and a guitar, right?
No, I grew up around uniforms with my dad in the military. And plus living in Navy towns, like all the creepy.
And we've already established, I believe, that you don't have typical daddy issues. Not like most girls do. Because most girls, it's like they date their dad over and over and over again.
No, my dad and I are cool.
All right. But the guys you date, are they anything like your dad?
No, not really.
I wouldn't think so. I haven't met your dad. I've only met your mom. Wait, or did I meet you? Or did I meet your uncle? Or your grandfather? Who did I meet?
You met my great uncle.
Okay, great uncle.
Yeah.
No, I did meet your dad. He looked like Jimmy Buffett.
He did.
He looked like Matt Groening, kind of.
He's going through his ponytail phase.
It's very sad.
I know. He got a Hawaiian shirt and balding
with the ponytail.
Went out and got a lot of tattoos, grew out his hair.
Does he have the convertible?
Yep. No, he has an enormous Dodge Ram with 10 tires.
Zing.
Yeah.
Well, that's fine. Which, look, I'm headed there. We're all headed there. But what was my point? Yeah, so your dad is not anything like the guys you date. So now, this is a question, Sarah, because everybody's so interested in your therapy. Now, because your therapist hasn't been on yet.
I had a great session with her yesterday.
You can't say that and not tell us what it was about. When can we have her on?
I don't know. She said that she wants to be prepped.
Pre-interviewed?
Yeah, so that she doesn't reveal anything. I don't want her to.
Well, and let her know that we're not one of those. I mean, this is the thing about this show is I was booking. We have this great guest on next week from PC Gamer Magazine. And it's this woman, attention dudes, a woman who is going to tell you how to get your girlfriend into video games. How to turn your girl into a gamer. But I find they do that whole thing. Tell us a little bit about the program, please. And I always have to make that we are not like a shock jock. And they always think they're coming on and it's just going to be some zoo idiots and whatever. So let her know that we're not that. And I'm not going to be.
No, I have. I mean, I think we know each other pretty well now. I think she knows I wouldn't work for one of those shows.
Yes. And so now does Nate or any of the guys you've done now, is there anybody in your life that you can, like, in other words, so the guys you date aren't anything like your dad.
No.
Is there some other male figure from your youth, from your formative years, that is a reflection of the guys you date? I'm just curious about that.
No, I don't think so. I've always dated kind of different guys.
They're all like Bob Saget. You didn't have like a teacher or anything that you've been replicating all these years with the guys you date?
No, I mean, like looking back on my past few relationships, they're all completely different.
Mm. All right. Well, okay.
They all happen to be musicians.
I was trying to find some pattern or something so I could immediately pitch it.
Well, I've been going to shows since I was really young, so a lot of them happen to play instruments and sing and whatnot.
You have never put that, we gotta put that picture on the web of you dressed as a punk when you're like 11.
Yeah.
It's the best picture ever.
Okay.
We've gotten so sidetracked. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Well, speaking of girls and the clothes they wear, a 10-year-old fourth grader is protesting a rule by her school that bans miniskirts. Zoe Hinkle and her mom, Leslie, said there's nothing wrong with a skirt if there are shorts sewn underneath.
Sewn underneath? Oh, if it's like a one-piece, like a Garanimals kind of a thing?
Yep. Okay. The elementary school in Upper St. Clair, Pennsylvania, has a policy that says skirts that rise to mid-thigh level are just too short. The school said the dress code imposes limits on clothes that disrupt the educational process and cause a safety hazard.
Okay, there's no safety hazard, clearly. Clearly, this is a whole... How old is she?
10.
Yeah, see, and I don't know whether I'm becoming old... Yes. If I'm becoming a prude, or if there's just something fundamentally wrong about a 10-year-old girl wearing a miniskirt.
I think girls are dressing more slutty.
Now, is that because the girls want to do it? Is it because the moms want the girls to look cool because then it's a reflection on the...
Living vicariously.
Well, because here's the thing. I've noticed this. Here's the thing that I think is a recent development. When I say recent, I mean, I think the last 20 years. I think it's a recent, I think it's a development that started in the 80s and now. I think, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but I think in the 50s, 60s, moms didn't want to be the cool hip. They didn't want to be the MILF. You know, they didn't want to be the they didn't want to be the cool hip, like, you know, mom who's down with the kids. They were the mom, and it's like they were the adult, and that was the deal. But it's like recently, in the last decade or so, there's this whole thing where moms want to be, like, they want to be really young-looking and really cool. And I'm not just saying they want to be attractive. I mean, they want to, like, moms want to, they just want to have this perpetually, this state of retarded adolescence. And by that, by retarded adolescence, I mean that they've just never grown out of it. So I wonder, because moms are all bent on being the cool mom now, which is just not possible. I don't believe that you can be the cool mom and a good mom at the same time.
That's, oh, like the woman is absolutely fabulous.
So that's exactly, you know what I'm talking about. Exactly. So I don't think it's possible. I think you gotta choose one or the other. You either gotta be the cool mom or the good mom. And I think if this is the mom who's trying to be cool by dressing her kid in clothing that she thinks is hip. But it's not about the daughter looking cool, it's about the mom looking cool as a reflection of the daughter. Meanwhile, she's packing a 10-year-old up to school in a miniskirt, which is just it just seems wrong. It seems unnerving. So, oh, is this a daughter miniskirt call? Hard to see how that could go wrong. Mm-hmm. Hi, Charlie, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, Rick. Charlie, full-time listener. Love the show.
Wait, hold on. Hold on. This is my first chance to use this. Oh, and of course, I didn't load it because I didn't anticipate anybody calling.
Well.
Wait, hold on. Okay, what are you?
Full-time listener.
Yes.
Thank you. Excellent.
All
there
right. Yeah. And also, I'm the guy that said play the Cheap Trick song, so thank you. At the beginning of the show. Anyway, yeah, my daughter was in the same thing with the mini skirt with the sewn-in short thing.
How old is your daughter?
Well, she's 12 now, but at the time she was 11. But they're like, they see these things on this Disney Channel, how the kids dress.
We're all so old. This Disney Channel on this magical talking box in my living room.
No. It's okay. I mean, but the kids want to dress like the kids they see on these shows, you know, the Hillary Duff, all this and that and the other. And they're really not that short. They have
Junior
the shorts
Pig.
In them. And they said that she couldn't wear them because of the safety thing and all this, but it was a distraction for the young men.
But they're 10. At 10, were you... Look, here's the thing. Let's all be honest. Let's speak as men here. At 10, you are distracted by chicks, but not by 10-year-old chicks.
Yeah, I was more... I can't say. I went to a private Catholic school, so I wasn't distracted, you know.
But, I mean, it's like, you know, you're looking at the Sears catalog or the Playboy or the Internet or whatever the kids look at now, but when you were 10... I mean, you had, like, dumb schoolboy crushes or whatever, I guess, but when you're 10, you are not... And I hate to utter this phrase. When you are 10, you are not sexually distracted by a 10-year-old girl. That just... Because you don't even really... It just doesn't happen. It's like it's not even on your radar. You're still throwing rocks at him at that age, aren't you?
Pretty much, you know. And I think the thing was with the teachers and all this and that, they were just trying to follow the rules. But we were trying to be cool about the clothes and this
right.
and the other. And then you have to have the whole discussion at that point in your life of why, you know, don't dress like that. Like
sure, because then she's asking why, and you got to have this whole sex talk, which you don't want to be having with a 10-year-old, because that's creepy. And
you can't
early.
Tell your daughter that she's dressing slutty, like Sarah was saying. That's the problem. Well, honey, they think you look slutty, and you're not. So there you have it.
Honey, we just can't. You're looking like a hoe.
I guess you got to block the Disney Channel and make them watch C-SPAN.
It's true. What celebrity would you say your daughter most resembles? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No. I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding with that. We have to go now, Charlie.
All right. Well, you guys take care.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you.
All right,
bye.
There you go. That was a joke. I kid. Zing. All right. That zing, by the way, people ask why I say that instead of Z. It really is just from Arrested Development because Tobias Fünke would say zing occasionally when he would be witty. We have to break now. You just stay right there and stuff. It's the Rick Emerson Show. One of those women that works 16 hours a day and just has the cats and the diesel batteries at all. You know what I'm talking about. Zing. All right, I got to quit saying zing. Zing is the new Z. The sentence makes no sense at all. It's 503-733. Is Lisa Goddard on hold? Ah, good Lord.
She is.
I'm sorry she had to hear that. 503, remind me to tell you an embarrassing anecdote later about something that happened this morning. I don't want to talk it. I don't want to tell it now.
When right. I called you and you were in the bathroom?
No. Shh. It's Nate. No one heard that. It's 503. Why you got to say that? 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Now Lisa's going to have a completely jaundiced view of the way I conduct business here at KCMD. Johnson, I'm Tony. All right, moving along. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, CNN radio correspondent, from Washington, D.C., or Washington, D.C., as some people say, I think with the sole purpose of irritating me. Lisa Goddard, how are you?
Hey, what's up? Definitely not jaundiced. Your big advantage is I hang out with Congress all day, so you guys are good.
So by comparison, I'm relatively sleaze-free.
Yes, yeah, excellent. Yeah, I would say so.
God bless you. All right, and so, and but listen to this brilliant segue. But speaking of Congress and sleaze, of course, the all-time bar setting now has been done, and I can't tell whether she's raised the bar, lowered the bar. Cynthia McKinney, now I have to confess that I've actually been wrong about a couple things this whole time, which I know will shock everyone. I had been referring to this guy as a security guard just sort of colloquially, but he was actually, Capitol Police.
The officer she is said to have hit?
The guy that she probably hit that she hasn't admitted to hitting yet.
Right, Capitol Police officer, yeah. And those guys, they rotate duties, a lot of them, and so they've got to do turns at the metal detectors. So, yeah, Capitol Police officer.
All right, so the latest, let me see if I got this
correct.
So the latest is that they were starting an investigation or a whatever into her. She denied, dug in, refused to give an inch, and then, turned on a dime and immediately came out and started blubbering out with a big apology. And why did that happen so quickly? Did somebody exert pressure on her in a back channel way? And then what's happening now?
Yeah, we understand there was pressure on her, and we understand that it came from the Congressional Black Caucus. They had a meeting two nights ago. In fact, I stood outside that door and was there when Ms. McKinney and some of her caucus members came out. And we're told by people who were in the meeting that the caucus said in no uncertain terms that McKinney had to tone down the rhetoric and that she had to offer some sort of apology. And the apology that she did offer partially was like her former statement saying that she regrets the incident. She did say that, "I'm sorry that this has basically gotten blown out of proportion like this. I'm sorry that it has escalated. And I apologize." But it's not clear that she's apologizing for her actions on the day of the incident as much as she seems to be apologizing for the course that this whole thing has taken.
Well, this is sort of like when I was a kid and I would hit my brother and he would cry and he would run to my mom, and my mom would order me and she would say, "Richard, you apologize right now." And my apology would be like, "I'm sorry that you're crying like a wimp," you know, and I would never apologize for hitting him. So it's this passive-aggressive kind of apology. That's sort of what it sounds like to me.
Well, you could tell when she made the apology, she was very serious when she talked on the floor of Congress. And then at the very end, she said, and then she smiled. And it was almost sort of this, here's the moment you all are expecting, sort of this has been so built up that here it is. She smiled and said, I apologize. So there was sort of a sense of the whole, how scripted the whole thing was, I guess.
So anticlimactic. Now,
and
if I can just speak plainly, we're all adults. Is this, so the Congressional Black Caucus, they put this pressure on her. Is this because of the alleged racial nature of the incident, or is it because of her constant referral to what she, to the alleged racist component of this? You know what I mean? In other words, is the Black Caucus weighing in so heavily in this because it was white guard, black woman, or because she's constantly using the word racism?
You know, I think different members of the Black Caucus have different feelings on that, and I think the Black Caucus itself is not, it doesn't feel one way or the other about the incident, but I think the reaction there was that Cynthia McKinney was really making a bad situation worse, and that because she was bringing up race, it really did involve the Congressional Black Caucus, and a lot of people were wondering, where is the support of the Congressional Black Caucus? Why aren't they supporting? A lot of reporters like me were asking Congressional Black Caucus members, where do you stand on this? A lot of pressure was on them, and they really had to get Cynthia McKinney to step down her rhetoric a little bit and try to cool this off, because pressure was on them as well because McKinney had made this a race issue.
And so I guess speaking of the sort of the climactic question here, our big question is, could she still go to jail? Or have something happen to her? Is this over, or?
This is not over yet. It could be ending. We're not sure. We know that a federal grand jury is still looking into what happened, and they could announce that charges are appropriate next week. Now, if they do charge her, then we have yet another court case of some sort. It could be a misdemeanor. We believe but we're not even sure what kind of a charge it would be. But it is possible that she could be charged with some form of assault and could possibly have to spend some jail time. It seems unlikely, but it is possible.
I'm telling you right now, Lisa, now this could be your gravy train. You ought to take a page from that. Who's that hideous woman? There's Diane Diamond. And who's that hideous Nancy Grace?
Oh, Nancy Grace.
Yeah. Nancy Grace. Take a page out of that hideous woman's book.
She's hardcore,
that's one way to put it, I suppose. You should be, work on one of those, like, supermarket Insta books on this right now. Like the Slap Heard Around the World, Slap Happy, something.
You could not pay me enough to do that. You could not.
Oh. I think I have very low standards. I think it's the difference between the two of us. And Diane Diamond and Nancy Grace and everyone. So, Lisa Goddard, thank you so much, and we thank you for gracing this program with your high standards occasionally.
Oh, listen to that. What a nice end to a Friday. You got it.
All right. Thank you, Lisa.
Sure.
All right. There you go. It's 503-733-2970. All right, see, that sounded legitimate at the end. That sounded like a legitimately warm...
It did.
Thanks that she gave me. I think that outro that she just used was legitimately happy.
Mm-hmm.
She's happy
she
to hear from
me. She did sound pretty happy.
See, and I think I'm winning her back over with my combination of...
In a friend way.
The big brother kind of way. Thanks, I appreciate that. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, two people were injured early this morning when a car crashed into a golf cart on Southeast Holgate Boulevard. No, they weren't playing golf. Police say a man and a woman were pushing a golf cart across the overpass on Southeast Holgate near 24th when they were rear-ended by a vehicle at 3 o'clock in the morning. Authorities say speed and alcohol may have played a role in that morning crash. But there's no excuse why they were pushing a golf cart.
I'm unclear about this myself. I was waiting for explication of that. So there, where is this?
This is Southeast Holgate Boulevard.
Southeast, I know.
24th.
I know where that is. How far up?
Near 24th.
I know exactly where that is. So
they're pushing a golf cart.
And that's a steep hill, by the way. You know, I mean, it's not steep, but I guess it is. It's a long, gradual hill.
So they were determined.
So Holgate and 24th.
Yeah.
And it's all windy, too. Holgate and 24th is windy, and it's steep, and then it's a bunch of twists, and it goes right through a residential neighborhood, mm-hmm. and it's difficult to see where you're going. So why were they...
It doesn't say
why they're pushing a golf cart at 3 a.m.
Maybe the battery was dead.
I have no... Well, that does stand to reason. I don't know why they would.
Maybe
and so
they didn't
a car
have their
came up and
card.
Hit them. Was there a glib witticism about this on Coin this morning that I can steal?
Not a one.
Uh-oh.
But you mentioned it on your 5 o'clock news this morning.
I did. Well, we don't usually have glib witticisms when someone's injured.
Yeah, that's not true. You had the bobcat story, and the guy, didn't somebody have a glib witticism about the bobcat biting?
Yeah, but that's like a guy golfing, you know?
And it's an animal.
Yeah.
Well, they were
like
on their way
smushed.
To play golf in this one.
See, I was hoping that they'd fallen off a cliff or something. Not hoping. But I'm... See, because then you could do, see if they'd fallen off a cliff or if they'd fell into a ravine, then you do the, you know, it's not a hole in one, but it's one in a hole, you know, or something. You know, like if they'd fallen into a thing.
No.
Little help? Fine.
Maybe
bastards.
We should move along.
Sons of bitches, fine, whatever. Oh, wait, let's see. Look, glib witticisms, here they come. I, Rick Emerson Show, do you have what it takes to be an anchor on Coin TV?
You're damn right I do.
Let's hear it.
Okay, hey, listen, here's what happened. Apparently the people with the golf cart, it was broke down, and they were so excited because they were able to get it running that they decided to go out for a drive around town in their golf cart with no lights, no reflectors.
Are you making this part up?
No, I swear.
Okay. All right, so they're driving it around. They're joyriding in a golf cart on Holgate at 3 a.m.
Yeah, and it doesn't say what... various substances they were on it, but
right.
Anyway, so they're cruising it, so they're out for a joyride in their golf cart,
and
some drunk fool apparently rear-ends them and puts them in the hospital.
Okay, yes.
We knew that.
We knew all that.
But, so they were out for a joyride, apparently, and
all right.
I can say they're from Gresham or something. I don't know what else to tell you.
Thank you. Thank you for weighing in, sir. We appreciate it.
Adios.
All right, there you go. Thank you.
That was helpful.
Yeah, thanks. We're so much further ahead now. Hi, Rick. Okay. I'll move on. I've got nothing.
Well, let's talk about the cost to remove 12 million illegal aliens. Some experts say in the most extreme proposal, deporting millions of illegal aliens would be a huge logistical and legal morass. And ruinously expensive, too. Officials at the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency, which would be responsible for deportations, say there are no projections on what it would take to get rid of 12 million people. Meanwhile, Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist blames the Democrats for the collapse of the bipartisan compromise on immigration reform. He told a news conference today it's the Democrats who created this huge problem.
And that was that we were going to deny the expression of the will, the intent of 99 other United States senators. There were about 400 amendments filed, and as all of you know, not all of those amendments would ever be taken to the floor.
Big grains of salt. Do you ever hear these sound clips in more ways than one? It's sound clips that it's like they were recorded on some, like, cassette from Radio Shack. Like the kind you use when you were a kid and you're playing radio. You know, and you're You know, and it's just like, you're just totally, like, making nonsense noises. You listen to my mom, and I will never play them for you. My mom has some tapes of me as a five-year-old with that huge, clunky, rectangular, you know what I'm talking about, the oblong where the handle pulls out of it, tape deck, pretending to be a talk show host when I was, like, five. And it's like, and you would just tape over the same, you know, we didn't have a bulker or a degausser or anything. That's a radio lingo for a thing that just magnetically, it just magically erases everything on a tape like that at once. It's the thing that they're using in Fight Club in the Blockbuster when they're erasing all the videos and they're plugging the thing in. But you just record over and over and again, and the hiss just builds up, and it's like you can hear the ghosts of, like, other things you've taped in the background. That's exactly what this sounds like.
And that was that we were going to
do... just the worst soundbite ever. Okay.
Ted Kennedy says he's not giving up on illegal aliens.
I'm disappointed but not discouraged. I'm sorrowful but not without hope for the future, and I'm concerned about the lost opportunity, but absolutely determined to keep right on fighting.
But as Gabo would say, I'm a bad little boy.
John McCain says he's not giving up on illegal aliens.
We believe we have the votes, and we also have the votes to beat back any amendments. But those amendments should be allowed. That's the way the United States Senate functions.
Is that him?
We should allow a reasonable number of amendments to be debated and voted on before we would vote final passage.
I love it when you can hear the guy actually whacking the podium while he talks.
Right. Meanwhile, people in McKinley, Texas are seeing something other than flowers coming out of the ground this spring. They're seeing slime mold. Strange yellow and orange lumps have been reported growing in damp areas of Texas, and some parents are concerned that they've seen them sprouting in playgrounds.
It's not really a fungus, but it's one of those myxomycetes, one of those weird microorganisms. But it, as far as we know, it poses
no known
danger.
It's Texas.
Slime mold. That took him a long time to come up with that name. It's kind of slimy. It's kind of... go ahead.
Mary LeBouc said the slime mold is growing in a nearby children's park.
At what point does... at what point do they start telling the local sheriff who doesn't believe them and tells these punk kids to get out on a Friday night?
For about the last week, every day we come out to the park, I'm noticing these large yellow and orange piles growing.
Large yellow and orange piles growing. Oh, that's fantastic. No, sheriff, you've got to believe us. It's a blob. Rick, the official sexiest moment of the show ever. It is not Sarah Dillon saying that's a lot of blackout. It is Lisa Goddard saying black caucus over and over and over again. That's all we're going to say about that. Tim Riley.
A man has been fined $200 for stealing butterflies from a swamp with the help of his 11-year-old son. Joseph Wampler Jr. pled guilty in federal court to one misdemeanor charge of taking butterflies without permission.
From a swamp. Okay, first of all, a guy named Wampler shouldn't be named Joseph. Mm. Wampler is a funny word. Isn't a Wampler one of those things you hear like Star Wars? I was going, you'll want to take your Wampler into Tatooine. You know, it's totally, and Wampler,
get
that guy
was at Burger King.
What's his name? He ought to be Jesse. Jesse Wampler. And then he'd run like a tire shop.
Well, they could receive up to a year in jail and a $10,000 fine.
Any time you're involved in a crime where there's the phrase from a swamp or in a swamp, nothing good is coming of that. Because if you're hiding a body, you're submerging a car from a girl that you cut into little pieces, you're stealing butterflies or perhaps the white orchid.
We have two Florida stories in a row.
Oh, excellent. That's fantastic and good to hear because we love where?
Florida.
It's the loudest soundbite.
A jury found an Orlando police officer not guilty on one of two counts of misdemeanor battery today on charges he shocked a man with a taser gun after the teen refused to give a urine sample while strapped to a hospital bed.
Okay, first of all, how hard could it be to get urine out of a guy who's strapped down? Mm-hmm. Secondly, I've just come up with the taser watch theme in my head. Okay. Hold on. And you know, it's like the teacher thing. We're going to do this and they're going to stop being in the news. Hold on. Taser watch. If I had something to give away, which I do not, I would give something away to the first person who could guess what this song is that I'm going to use because it's fantastic. But don't call in with that because I have nothing to give away. Just keep it to yourself. All right. Taser watch. Coming Monday, we have a taser watch theme. Okay.
Well, the police officer weighs 235 pounds, jumped on the 130-pound man, strapped to the hospital bed, and shot him.
Well, okay. And there you go. They all lived happily ever after.
Our second Florida story.
I'm sorry. The second story from...
the Sunshine State.
For the love of God. Hold on. Oh, why does it say paper jam with... Hold on. It's,
all right.
It doesn't...
We'll be patient.
All right. Wait. There we go. Thank you.
A 54-year-old woman in Port Orange, charged with shooting and killing her elderly neighbors, told officers that the couple had been torturing her and made her eat green mothball cookies that made her sick.
Are green mothball cookies, are they the kind that bubble out of the ground or the kind that they stole from a swamp?
That's what it says here.
All right.
It appears that the shooting has something to do with a relationship between neighbors. During questioning, this woman named Sue Anderson says, "I didn't see any blood or bullet holes in their clothing. They were over there watching TV. I was shooting blanks." Then she said, "They made me cookies with green mothballs and made me sick." Here's their picture.
I don't understand anything about this story. Let me. This is from Local 6, by the way, which is the greatest
source for Florida stories.
Oh, look at her.
Yeah.
Boy, that's unpleasant.
Even Chief Foxworth would turn her down. She'd never get an email.
God, or just an email that "leave me alone. I do not wish to show you."
How would you like some of my green mothball cookies?
"I wish for you to stay away from me. I do not wish to rub up against you even accidentally in the hallway." All right. I should do "Great Moments in History" as read by the Foxworth guy. That'd get me a morning show. Boy, this woman looks like her face has just been flattened with an iron repeatedly. Mm-hmm. And then she was given one of those, like a haircut from one of those My Buddy dolls. Look at this. Tell me it's not true. Look at this hideous woman. You know what her name is? Her name is Bertha. It's got to be. Or Blanche. Blanche!
Linda Sue.
Linda Sue. Yeah, all right.
Oh.
No, that's...
She has like a pancake face.
Pancake face. Not in terms of makeup, but in terms of its flatness.
Yeah.
It's kind of a face like Kansas. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, a New York Post Page 6 staffer solicited $220,000 from a high-profile billionaire in return for years' protection against inaccurate and flattering items about him on the gossip page.
First of all, we love Page 6, and the New York Post is the best newspaper that is not the Sun.
Right.
But in terms of America, the New York Post is the finest paper there is in terms of us. Sarah and I very nearly, the last time I was in New York, and I wasn't able to do it, I almost got Sarah a Page 6 shirt. But then they didn't have them. They were gone.
Oh.
But Page 6 is the best part of the best paper in the country. So this is a great story, though, because they shook this guy down for like $1 jillion in exchange for not slandering him on Page 6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, in two 90-minute meetings characterized by a shocking breach of ethics, Jared Paul Stern, a fixture on the city's gossip scene, who also edited Page 6, the magazine, asked for a series of payments from Ron Burkle, the managing partner of Eucapa Cause, a conglomerate with interests in supermarkets, celebrity clothing lines, and media. It was all a setup, a sting monitored by law enforcement, including the U.S. Attorney's Office and the FBI, who are now investigating the extortion attempt. The meetings on March 22nd and March 31st were also videotaped.
Fantastic. I can't wait to hear all about that.
With warnings about global warming reaching a fever pitch in recent weeks, Vanity Fair is about to come out with a story featuring George Clooney and Julia Roberts on its cover. Americans are more convinced than ever that the Earth is being affected. And they have still not grown urgently concerned about it.
No one cares. No one cares about global warming. Bill Maher cares, and Sean Penn cares. And people who have movies coming out care. That's it. Speaking of Sean Penn, I got to make a note to myself about that. Stalk Sean Penn. Attack until punched. No one except people with projects and Bill, and God love Bill Maher. You know, Bill Maher, you know, he does Real Time on HBO. He did Politically Incorrect. Bill Maher is one of those guys that I like the idea of a lot more than the actual, like, I like him sort of like a Kevin Smith thing. I like him more than I actually like any of his projects. I came to that realization about Kevin Smith a while back that Chasing Amy Apart, aside, and I'm a Clerks fan, that, like, I heard that, like, oh, he's making Clerks too, and sort of amusing, but I realize that I just sort of tolerate Kevin Smith films because they allow me to buy movies with Kevin Smith commentaries. Because that's really what it is. I just kind of want to hang out with Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
And so if I have to sit through a movie to then eventually get to, like, him coming around and speaking and just hanging out, that's fine. So it is with Bill Maher. Do you see that thing? Did anybody see that Bill Maher special they taped here at the Schnitzer?
No.
It's called I'm Swiss. It was like his stand-up special for HBO. They filmed it right here. That's the schnitzel right there on Broadway, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, they filmed it right there. Great looking, beautiful looking concert. I mean, it looked fantastic, but it was, you know, I just got like 5 minutes in and da-da-da-da. But he's always on about two things, about PETA and about global warming. The first is actively disliked by everyone. The second is cared about by no one. And they keep trying to make us care. That's the frustrating thing. They just don't get the message through that no one cares, and they can't make us care about it. Do you care? Global warming?
No.
Sarah?
Not really.
There you go. Right there. It's move on.
I did like that movie The Day After Tomorrow, though.
Well, you know, and that's totally...
That's a good movie. That's the one with Jake Gyllenhaal, right?
I was going
to
say
that. His father... comes across country and manages to find him in New York. How could that possibly happen? Yeah.
Well, we call that the war. That's the Spielberg syndrome. Uh-huh. That's where at the end, no matter what...
He just happens to show up at the right place.
Yeah, it's only War of the Worlds,
totally,
too.
Yeah. Well, uh-huh. That's every Spielberg film. You've noticed. You know why Tom Cruise was so attracted to War of the Worlds. Because, I mean, it's Spielberg, obviously. But note every Steven Spielberg film. We're kind of looking ahead to the geek segment later on. But every Spielberg film has daddy issues. Every single Spielberg film has a missing, absent, neglectful, or otherwise sort of not there father figure.
Can you name, because E.T. popped into my head, which of course...
No dad.
But yeah, can you list off some Spielberg films?
Okay, E.T., no dad. Uh-huh. War of the Worlds, obviously, no dad.
Mm-hmm.
Close Encounters, dad abandons family because of Alien.
Uh-huh.
Jaws, dad abandons family, leaves family at home despite crying family's wishes for him to stay because he's got to go fight shark. Every Steven Spielberg film has, like, a weird daddy thing.
Oh, weird.
It's true. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're all that way. And, of course, he has, like, the divorced parents and the blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
But that's... And we know that Tom Cruise said, you know, my daddy used to
beat me.
Whatever. Beat me or whack me around or whatever it was he said. So that's totally where that came from. But War of the Worlds, we should talk about that for a second, because that happened when we were off the air. That's a fantastic film. And they had me all the way through until the stupid reunion of the dad and the kid at the end. And I'm just like, come on.
See, they lost me in the basement. That went on for too long for me.
Well, the basement part was a little long, and I've already seen it when it was called Jurassic Park. Because that's exactly the same as the raptors going through the kitchen looking for the kids.
That is exactly right.
It's exactly the same thing. And when the kids are in the kitchen.
The same head turns, the same very close, like almost getting them, but not quite.
It was great in Jurassic Park. And you know what? It was also great when it was called The Abyss. With the big tubular thing snaking through looking for them, that was like two things that I'd already seen merged into a thing that went on like 40 times too long.
I don't understand how they got back from... They went from New Jersey to Massachusetts.
I don't know.
I mean, that's
and
a huge
the one
geographic
family,
area.
Sir, if well, running for it. And then, yeah, and then the one family, you know, the only other people on the street just happened to be his family. It was just retarded.
And I was given Spielberg... I know we're talking about something that happened a year ago, but deal with it. I give huge points to Spielberg, by the way, initially, because I thought he killed off the kid. And I was like, go Spielberg.
Those are the most obnoxious movie kids in quite some time.
Well, and because Spielberg is at his best when he's sort of ruthless, you know? Because Spielberg can be a ruthless filmmaker. I urge you to go back and watch Jaws. I urge you to go back and watch Duel, which is the first movie he made. Duel will mess you up for the rest of your life. Because he's the best when he just goes for the throat. And he did that with most of War of the Worlds. Most of War of the Worlds is really terrifying. Like that train, the train is on fire. Mm-hmm. And when the things are just destroying the city. And I was like wetting myself. I was like, this is it. We're all going to die. We're hosed. But then at the end, he does the big tearful, you know, oh, son, oh, dad, I'm sorry. Let's bowl together. And it was just such a letdown. It was bad. So there you go. There's some news from a year ago. There's some news you can no longer use. News that was usable last year. Do we have to break?
Yeah, we probably should.
Well, that's very sad. I just want this to go on forever.
We're all too talky today. We've really accomplished nothing.
That's not true. We got lots of news.
Tim's accomplishing stuff.
We got lots of news talked about.
Well, we're not used to working in here without coin six.
Yes, it's... I keep waiting for those. I was watching coin emails to flood in.
Did you see I'm on a new promo in there? It's very exciting.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
It's like, you know, Coin News 6 that has all the, like, you know, looks harder, digs deeper, and then there's a picture of me. I dig deep.
What is it you're digging deep to find out again?
Traffic reporting.
This screen says that there's an accident somewhere. Oh. I'm sorry. That was wrong.
A lot harder than
is
that.
I know. I couldn't do it. Is the new opening playing yet?
No, I haven't seen it.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
That is hard. I always have a hard time signing on to Metro Traffic's website.
Moving forward, we come back, we're going to talk about the Listener Party 9, which is now 13 days away. 13 days away. We're going to talk a little bit about Striper, believe it or not. We're trying to get to this Rick Emerson news pile. More from the City Desk later on. Scott Daly and Aaron Geek in the City Duran will be here, et cetera, et cetera. So on and so forth. Oh, and remind me to mention this Centipede video a little bit, in the vaguest of terms. That's all coming up. It is a Rick Emerson Show. Like us at 3, world famous Phil Hendry Show at 7. It's Johnson 970. Don't go anywhere.
Open up the medicine chest. I don't wanna grow.